Hi, it's Dave. Welcome to my channel. Yesterday, it was reported that SpaceX president Gwynne Shotwell was quoted saying that SpaceX is planning on spinning off Starlink and IPOing it. Now, this is big news. In this video, I'm going to share my thoughts on Starlink and its upcoming IPO. Now, a lot of viewers have been asking about Starlink and what my thoughts are. Here's some questions from viewers. Michael D says, Dave, what do you think about SpaceX considering an IPO for its satellite-based internet venture called Starlink? This will disrupt a very large market. When and how do you get into something like this? Here's another question by Steve Brewster. Elon threw out 3% market share of the 1 trillion broadband market, but there are over 2 billion people not yet online, and Starlink can reach them first and at the lowest cost. My only concern would be that their value would be too easy to see and it would IPO without a 10x potential. DMAT says there are reports of Starlink breaking off from SpaceX as a publicly traded company. Thoughts? And Ray S says, can you talk about Starlink? Do you think you will invest in it? I think Starlink is the first of its kind of a true planetary net. First, let's talk about what is Starlink. Now, Starlink is a project by SpaceX, a company led by Elon Musk. Their goal is to cover the Earth with low orbit satellites to provide internet for people around the world. They want it to be high speed and low latency. And according to government documents, Starlink can be putting up to 12,000 satellites in orbit by the year of 2027. Now, there are several problems with current satellite internet. One is the satellites are so high in the air, there's a lot of latency. For example, if I'm downloading something, it's fine sometimes, but if I'm trying to click something, it takes a while for that click to register to send it to the satellite and come back. The other problem with current satellite internet is it's expensive, and there's only a limited number of satellites in the air. What SpaceX is trying to do is trying to cover the entire planet Earth with 12,000 or even more satellites. This is a very ambitious project that Starlink is tackling. So the next question is, when is this Starlink IPO going to happen? Now, Gwynne Shotwell is quoted as saying that Starlink is something that they could spin off and that they're planning on doing so, but she didn't give a timeline. In my opinion, I think the earliest a Starlink IPO can happen is probably late this year in 2020, but more likely, we might see a Starlink IPO coming in 2021. Why does SpaceX want to spin off Starlink as a separate company and IPO it? Well, there are a few reasons here. First of all, Starlink needs a lot of capital. Gwynne Shotwell a few years ago was saying that they need $10 billion to invest into Starlink to really get it to a mature state. $10 billion is a lot, and they're going to need to raise a lot of capital from investors. However, the core reason I think that SpaceX wants to spin off Starlink is because they'll get more value for Starlink as a separate company. Back in December 2019, SpaceX was valued at $33 billion. However, if they spin off Starlink, I think they can get at least a $40 to $50 billion market cap valuation based just on Starlink, because it'll be a separate business from SpaceX and people can understand the business much clearer. Further, if there's hype and enthusiasm around Starlink IPO, we could see the valuation be up to $60 to $7 billion, in my opinion, when it goes IPO. So how can I buy some of these shares in Starlink in the IPO? Well, there's a process that SpaceX needs to go through. First, SpaceX needs to spin off Starlink as a separate company. And then they need to go through the filing where they need to file an S-1 form with the government to show investors the numbers and the case for them going public. After they file the S-1, they typically do a roadshow. And the roadshow is their meeting with different investors to pitch this investment. Then SpaceX announces some type of IPO target date. During that time, you can probably get some pre-IPO shares. Some brokerages, they get an allotment of the IPO shares. So they might get you the IPO shares at the IPO price before it hits the market. However, for most people, you'll need to wait until Starlink goes to the market, actually trades in the open market to get Starlink as a stock. Trust me, when Starlink goes public, you'll know. It'll be everywhere, plastered on the internet, on all these websites. You can't miss it. Now, the big question, if you've been listening to my channel, is can Starlink become a 10x generational company? Now, there are four main criteria I look at as a 10x investor. The first criteria is it disrupting a large market? Some people think that Starlink will be disrupting the cable internet market. However, I question that. I think cable internet is gonna be better than what Starlink can provide for most people. It'll be faster downloads and lower latency. Starlink is predominantly for people who don't have access to cable internet. So the question is this really a large market, the people without internet? And the people without internet, are they able to pay the $50, $60, or $70 per month that Starlink is gonna charge? Now, we know there's a lot of people without internet in third world countries, but the question is, are they gonna be able to afford it? I had this thought this morning. morning, what if a village in Africa who didn't have internet bought one Starlink satellite dish for their entire village so they could have a powerful Wi-Fi router and everyone can connect to that single internet connection? In other words, people could share one Starlink internet connection and make it much more affordable. Regardless, this question of how large the Starlink market is and how fast they can penetrate that market is going to be an essential question to look at. The second question is, can Starlink provide a significantly better product than anything else out there? And can they defend that product superiority over time? This is a trick question of sorts because there is no product right now. If you say, what is Starlink's product? It's something that we can't touch right now. We can't really see. It's something that Starlink is promising. According to Elon Musk, they're making a satellite dish that's about the size of a pizza box. And they're wanting to make it like a one-touch, easy operation where you stick that pizza box type of satellite dish anywhere, you press a button and you're connected to the internet. I think it's safe to give Elon the benefit of the doubt here that Starlink is going to be releasing a very easy to use superior product with satellite internet. Now, I'm actually a satellite internet user. Starting last year, I've been taking RV trips to different national parks that don't have internet access. And I recently bought a satellite internet kit where it's a big satellite dish about 3 or 4 feet in diameter. It's a pain in the butt to try to aim and to get satellite connection. Sometimes when I set up this satellite internet, it takes me 1 hour just to get internet connection. And I was looking into these automatic satellite dishes that can point directly and find internet connection. And we're looking at a price tag of at least $10,000 or $20,000 I'm gonna need to spend. And in addition to that, these units are huge. And so for Elon to say like they can actually shrink it down to a pizza box and have it automatically point and shoot, we're talking about something that would cost $30,000 to $50,000 in the current market. And if he can provide that for under $1,000, that's gonna be truly amazing. The faster Starlink can come out with their pizza box satellite dish, the faster I can get rid of my current satellite system. In terms of defending product superiority, there's a lot of competition coming into space with other satellite providers who have ambitious plans and who are funded by big players. So Starlink needs to keep ahead and they need to push the envelope in how fast they can roll out the system, and they need to continue to iterate and improve their product and service over time. The third criteria I'm looking at is world-class execution. This is important because with lots of competition, who knows, maybe even Amazon or Google or other companies can come into this satellite business as well. So we need to know if Starlink can compete against the best of the best in the world. In October 2008, there was problems with Starlink. Elon Musk went up to their Seattle office where they're based and did a big shakeup, fired a bunch of people and put new people in charge to try to get things back on track. And since that time, Starlink has been on a tear. They've been launching satellites. I believe they already have almost 300 Starlink satellites up in the air right now. And so execution is going well, but the question mark lies, can Elon Musk handle overseeing another company? He's already got Tesla and SpaceX, Boring Company, and Neuralink. So this will be the fifth company he's gonna be overseeing. So far, he's doing a great job, and so I'm not too worried about Starlink at this point. The last and perhaps most important criteria is, do they have a clear and probable path for a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years? In order to calculate this, oftentimes it's helpful to have some type of projections from the company so you can start to see what type of expectations they have, but also to ask if those expectations are realistic or not. Fortunately, we have some leaked documents from SpaceX from a couple years ago that show some revenue and some income projections. According to leaked docs, in 2025, they expect $36 billion of revenue. And of that, they expect $22 billion in operating income. That's a 61% margin. It's an extremely high margin business and it appears to be very lucrative. So the next question is, what kind of multiple are investors gonna give to a company like Starlink? We know that Starlink projects to be growing very fast. They're looking to $9 billion of revenue in 2021, $23 billion in revenue in 2023, and $36 billion of revenue in 2025. This is a business that's growing revenue extremely, extremely fast. Because of that, I believe investors would give at least a 30 to 40 time multiple of that income going forward. So in other words, in 2025, if they have a $22 billion operating income and they have a multiple of 30, then that would be a $660 billion market cap. If investors give a 40 times multiple off of that $22 billion operating income, that would be an $880 billion market cap company. Okay, before you get too excited, here's some caveats. First, I think these numbers are a bit too optimistic. In fact, according to these leaked documents, they expected revenue to start in 2019 last year, which didn't happen. So these documents are at least a few years outdated, and they're probably at least a few years too optimistic in timing. When Starlink releases their S1 IPO prospectus, we're gonna see some clear numbers and hopefully some better projections of what they estimate this market and their revenue to be. The other factor is Elon time. While we can project revenue and adoption to be at a certain pace, sometimes that can be kind of overly optimistic. There could be a longer path to adoption, or there could be more technical challenges that need to be overcome before adoption happens at a fast pace. I'm still looking for that pizza box satellite satellite dish to try it out myself. I want to know the cost of that satellite dish. I want to know the monthly cost, and I want to know how good it works. These are foundational questions that Starlink has to answer, I think, before they go IPO. So let's take another angle with valuation, maybe perhaps a more conservative one. Let's say in 3 or 4 years, Starlink has 10 million paying customers. So each customer is paying $50 a month. That would be $6 billion a year in revenue. And if they had a 50% gross margin, that would leave $3 billion in operating income. If investors gave a 30 multiple off of that, that would be a $90 billion market cap company. And if they gave a 40 multiple off of that, that would be a $120 billion market cap company. Let's say another 3 years after that, they have 20 million paying customers on their network, paying $50 a month. That would be $12 billion in revenue. Let's say a 50% gross margin, that would be a $6 billion operating income. If you times that by 30, that would be a $180 billion market cap. At a 40 time multiple, that would be 40 times 6, which would be a $240 billion market cap company. So whether Starlink can become a 10x company within 5 to 10 years, a lot of it depends on what the starting market cap valuation is. It makes a difference if Starlink is valued at $30 billion when it goes IPO versus if it's valued at $70 or $80 billion when it goes IPO. And there's a lot of other questions that we need answers for. For example, how much investments and capital expenditures do they need to spend over what period of time to fully roll out the Starlink internet constellation? Also, a question I'm particularly interested in is what's the period of vulnerability that Starlink will have where they're not going to show profitability and they're just going to be pouring money into building this satellite internet constellation? Are they going to be vulnerable to shorts? And are they going to be vulnerable to people trying to manipulate the stock to bring it down during that time? Without profitability, there could be some vulnerability to that. To counter that, they need fast adoption. They need to show large numbers of people adopting their product. And so a lot of this depends on whether or not Starlink can produce and release a hit product. Will their product be far superior than anything else out there? And it all comes down to that pizza box. Is that pizza box satellite dish going to be as easy as Elon says it's gonna be? Just press a button and anyone can connect to internet. If that could happen, it's possible we could see some very fast adoption and we can see Starlink grow as a company to become a potential 10x generational company. Now, there's still a lot of research to be done on Starlink and there's a lot of questions to be answered. As I shared in my last video, I personally recommend at least 100 hours of research in a company before you even buy its first share. Anyways, the Starlink IPO is still a ways out and there needs to be a lot more questions answered and we need to do a lot more research on that. If you're interested in Starlink and its IPO, please put in the comments and ask what kind of questions that you want answered for yourself. In the video description below, I'm going to add some links to different articles that will give you some more information about Starlink to get you up to speed. If you haven't subscribed to my channel, please do so. It's going to help out. Also, comment and like and share this video with as many people as you can. In this channel, we're resisting emotionalism and shallow thinking and just trying to follow the crowd. Rather, we're countering it with deep analysis, with objective reasoning, and by looking at things with a clear quantitative and qualitative analysis, really looking at the bigger picture at hand. Armed with these type of tools, we're learning how to more clearly forecast the future and become better investors, but to have those effects actually impact a lot of areas in our life. All right, for the rest of the video, I want to answer some questions from viewers. The first question comes from Jungle Jim. He says, Dave, great video and thanks for sharing. Your dedication to investment education in an ethical and responsible way is greatly appreciated. I, for one, would really enjoy how you would spend that 100 hours of research on a company before you buy the first shares if the research proves promising. What are the typical sources you use? How far back do you go in a company's financials? How much weight do you give the product reputation versus a leadership track record or unique vision? This is a fantastic question by Jungle Jim. You know, I get a lot of questions of what's the next company? What's the next big winner? What's the next 10X? That might be important. The more valuable question actually is how do you build up the skills to be able to spot those big 10X generation companies before anyone else does? Now, a lot of people don't want to put in the research, but then there's other people who would like to put in the research, but they don't know how to get started. Here's a few things I do when I investigate a new company that might be promising. First, I go to that company's website and I go to their investors relations section. In that section, the first thing I look for is investor presentation. So I'm looking for any presentations, any slides, or anything that they've given at conferences or to investors. And if I find that, I'm downloading that, I'm looking through the slides to get a quick view of how they're viewing their company, the potential. The next step is I'm watching or listening to any of those investor presentations. So they might be at an investor conference and the CEO might be giving a presentation and I'm listening to that entire presentation from beginning to the end. I'm trying to get a sense of what the core product of the company, how superior that product is, how defensible that superiority is. And I'm trying to look at the clarity of thinking in that CEO in terms of its strategy and approach forward. If the company looks interesting, then I'm continuing to look at investor presentations, especially in the past, two or three 3 years ago, and then I'm seeing if they're following up and actually meeting their promises and their expectations. The next thing I do is I'll download their annual reports. And I'll download the annual reports for the last year and the previous year and even the previous year at least. So at least 3 annual reports, and I'll read through them very fast. Now I think one of the key things is reading fast, and that's something over time that I've developed. But you can read through this annual reports and get a core understanding of what this company is, what type of product and service they provide, and what is their business model? How are they making money? And a promising company will also have a distinct view of the future that shapes their direction of their company. The next thing I'm doing, if things are promising, is I'm going to YouTube and I'm going to different places to try to find interviews of the CEO. I'm trying to find places where the CEO is explaining his business and is explaining the future of his business and is giving any projections if possible. I'm also looking at any videos of talks that the CEO has given. I'm trying to look to see if the CEO has clear thinking, how sharp his understanding is, and how clearly he sees the future. Now, if the CEO is not able to have clear, simple, and precise thinking about his business and about the direction and the future, what chances are that this business can be a 10x generation company? I think it's very low. Next, I'm looking at podcasts and audio interviews. I want to dive deeper into the mind of the CEO. What made it possible for the company to get to this point? How did they beat out their competitors? And what do they think is the unique quality that makes their product and their company so superior to anything else out there? By this point, I've gotten into the CEO's mind. You know, I understand that person's thinking. I understand how they view their company, how they view their product, how they view their success. Why did they beat out their competitors, and how do they think they're going to beat out the competitors in the future? I'm understanding what adjacent markets that this company is looking into. I'm getting into the mind, and I'm beginning to see the forecasting ability of that CEO and of that company, and I'm evaluating it as well. It's kind of like learning a language and an entire system. It's kind of a skill to develop where you can listen to, let's say, dozens of interviews and talks, and you start to understand why that person is saying what they're saying, and you can almost predict what they're going to say next because you understand their thinking so well. The next thing I'm doing is I'm researching their product superiority. I'm comparing their product to other products in their industry. Now, this is difficult if I'm not familiar with that industry, and so I tend to go to areas and industries that I'm more familiar with. Fortunately, I've had the experience to be in the software industry for over 13 years, and because of that, I'm able to understand the tools and the different trends that are going on in software. So I'm able to look at something and say, okay, what are the other software or software companies that are in this industry, and what are they offering that's different than this company? And then I wanna know directly from owners, the people who are buying that product, or let's say in case of software, from developers. How do developers really feel about this company and a service? Are they just using it grudgingly, or do they think it's the best thing ever and that no other company can beat them out because of certain unique reasons and qualities? I want to see how fanatical these owners are. I'm going to look online to user groups, to forums and different places, and I want to dive into those communities, and I want to understand the mind of the owner, why they are buying this product and why they like this product. Is their loyalty really deep and fanatical, or are they going to flip to anything else out there that comes on the market? So in other words, I'm getting into the mind of the product owner. I'm understanding their product decision, why they bought that product, how they view that product, how they view the superiority of the product. And also, I'm understanding how they view that company and that company can defend that product superiority over time. The next thing I'm looking at is the market itself. I want to understand the market potential that this company has. And I'm also looking at adjacent markets, because as the company grows, in order to do a 10x potential, they really need to not just tackle their own market, but they need to tackle new markets. And when they go into new markets, there's already entrenched players oftentimes, and they only need to beat out those entrenched players. And so I'm looking at the market and the market size. I'm looking at, does this company have any superpowers? Is it riding any technological advances? Does it have any unique strategic angle to tackle these new markets? A few other things I'm looking at this point is their execution. How well are they executing? I look back at now their quarterly reports, and I look back to see, are they meeting their guidance? Are they exceeding their guidance, right? Are they executing better than people expect? I want to see a company that's over-delivering. I want to see a company that says, hey, we're shooting for here, and they get there. And now one of the last things I start to look for on the internet is, are there any articles out there that give a clear and deep analysis of this company? Now, if you notice, this is something I'm saving for a bit later. And the reason is because I want my opinion and the foundation of my opinion of this company to come from this company itself, to come from its product owners itself, to come from the numbers. I want the original source of information. I don't want someone's secondhand opinion on this company. I want to know what this company is in its core. However, I do think that sometimes a few people, one person here or there, might might actually have an amazing understanding of this company that I need to be open to. And that's where I'm searching for that hidden gem of a person who has an upper hand on the analysis of this company. Now, with all this information at hand, and with all the research I'm doing firsthand in this company, I'm starting to draft my own revenue projections over the next, let's say, 4 or 5 years. I'm also drafting my margin projections, and then I'm drafting my operating income projections. And I'm also thinking, what type of multiple will investors give based upon the growth of this company? Now, if a company isn't growing fast, it's gonna have a really difficult time to do a 10x valuation within 5 or 10 years. Also, one of the big things is sometimes a company is growing fast and they hit a wall and then their growth starts to taper significantly and they're never able to meet the potential that a lot of people were hoping for. Now, after all this, I'm creating my own valuation ranges within the next 2 to 4 years of what I think this stock is gonna trade at based upon my revenue projections and the multiples that I think investors are gonna give. I'm asking myself, how much clarity and how much confidence do I have in these projections? And that's based on a multitude of factors that accrue during my research period. And then I'm comparing my valuation ranges with the current market cap, and I'm seeing what type of potential this company has to double within the next 1 to 2 years. And after that, to do another 5x in 5 or 7 years. Anyways, I hope this is giving you a glimpse into some of the research that I do personally, but don't get overwhelmed because if you keep on following this channel, I'm hoping to systematize a lot of these research methods to make it easier for a person to take their first step in researching a company. All right, next question is from Mei Hyun. Says, Dave, first of all, thank you so much for your daily video. They have provided a ton of knowledge to a new investor like me. You have mentioned that you would like to build a YouTube channel for audiences who invest with deep analysis and you would like to teach quantitative and qualitative skills. I bravo you on that. I wonder if you plan to open a webinar course to teach us those skills with Blackboard and charts and show us where you can find your information resource. Many thanks in advance. Yeah, there's just so much to cover in terms of investing. There's an immense amount of complexity in terms of the causes of what makes a company grow and become, let's say, a 10x valuation company within 5 to 10 years. People tend to oversimplify that cause. They say, oh, it's just this, it's just luck, or it's just this one angle. And people tend to overlook the many different types of facets that go into making a successful 10x generational company. And because of that, on this channel, I have an infinite amount of material and things to cover. Personally, I'd love to do like a 20 or 40 hour bootcamp, get people together for one whole week in person, and just from morning to evening, go through all of the major ideas and systems and really boost up people's mentality and their skills in order to analyze and think clearly and to analyze and value businesses and trends. But I'm not sure if that's actually the best thing to do right now. It's something I'm still in the brainstorm stages for. Also, if you notice, this past week I've been doing a daily video and I'm not sure if I can keep that up. I'm currently editing all my videos from the past 10 or 15 videos and it's taking a ton of time. So I'm looking for a video editor. I'm also looking for a research assistant. I'm actually looking for someone full-time. Who can come along my side and help really provide value and content for our viewers. We'll see where all this leads and I'll keep you guys updated. The next question is from H. Mejia. Hi Dave, I'm new to your channel. I appreciate your calm, non-salesman demeanor. You explain in very simple but articulate language. It contains the unmistakable ring of truth. I look forward to learning from you, thank you. H. Mejia, thank you for joining the channel. I appreciate your comment. There's something very insightful about your comment and it has to deal with truth. And I think a lot of times people don't understand truth in depthness and clarity. And because of that, there's a lot of fogginess and complexity. You can tell if a person really knows their stuff on a topic if they can explain it in clear, simple language, and yet it has depth and wide application. An example of this is when I read a book, I'm looking to see how clearly the author is explaining and understanding the core argument of this book. And most of the time, the author does not have a clear grasp on the topic. They're trying to use different examples to try to justify a complex idea or system. But occasionally, and in a rare instance, there is a person who comes along who just has clarity of thought and can explain something so simple and so deep, yet it's so broad and wide. When I look at interviews and talks by people, I also look for the same thing. How clearly and simply can they articulate and communicate their core arguments and concepts? The best truth is actually simple yet very profound. And that's why I'm actually very excited for this channel because I think a lot of the content can be applied not just in investing, but in many areas of life. The last question comes from Steve Bin. Dave, thank you for all the quality free yet so valuable knowledge. I'm 25 and you are like my rich dad. Anyways, thanks Steve. That made me chuckle. One of the reasons for this channel actually is for my kids. I'm trying to leave some wisdom that my kids can devour power and really shape their mind and their thinking and their worldview. I think a lot of finance channels and investing channels, but also other topics, a lot of times they have such a shallow worldview and their values and thinking are just so emotional, so reactionary. And as a result, they're not seeing things clearly and precisely. I'm hoping that through this channel, we can have a different stance. Rather than this shallow type of materialistic kind of view of finance and investing, we can actually take a broader, bigger picture on things. You know, actually money isn't the only thing and it isn't the most valuable thing in the world. There are far more valuable things. Anyways, I hope you liked the video. It's been a fun week together. I wish you the best and I'll see you in my next video. Thanks.